Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
And I'm so glad we could be together on this special day, which around the world, hundreds of millions, billions actually, of Christians around the world are celebrating that seminal event, the obvious event, the crucial event of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this day, I'd like to pose a question for each and every one of you, for every dad, for every mom, for every young person listening to my voice, if you're joining us online. I'll begin with a very important question for your future. And the question is, do you believe that a miracle can change your life? That's a question I'm putting before you. I pray you'll think deeply about it. And if you are a person that has wondered about miracles, I pray that you will leave this place today experiencing a rock-solid faith in God's ability to do amazing things. For the next six Sundays, you're invited to join us in a journey that we're taking together as a congregation. It's a message series called The God of Miracles, and we're going to explore what the Bible has to say about miracles, miracles in our lives. How can we position ourselves for miracles? What is a miracle, and how can we tap into it? I know this morning you may need a miracle in your body or your family or your financial life or your emotional life, so I believe it's a very important discussion for us to have. I invite you to come back for the next six Sundays as we travel on this journey. And as a part of the journey, we're going to be praying together and asking God to do miracles. And one of the ways that we're going to do this is to put in front of you this miracle prayer card. It's right in the pocket, right next to your I'm new here and I've decided card. And if you'd like us to be praying with you about something special in your life, maybe you've got a loved one, or maybe it's you yourself that needs a miracle, I'd like you to take a minute and fill that out and let us know what that prayer need is, because at the end of the service, when we receive our tithes and offerings, you can drop that into the offering container as it comes by, and then week by week, we as a church are going to take time in every Sunday service, we're going to lay our hands on all these cards, and we're going to believe the God of miracles to do great and awesome things. So get your prayer request in and let us know how we can be praying with you. I'm excited. And this morning, I'd like to just say a few words before the service closes on what I consider the greatest of all miracles. This first message in the God of Miracles series, the greatest miracle of all. I'm going to share some scriptures with you, some things that I hope will affect you deeply. And maybe along the way, I'll be able to share, two or three stories of the miracles that I personally have experienced in my life. And I'm not going to preach to you from a book of history or just anecdotal stories that I've heard. I would like to share throughout this entire series the miracles that I and my family have experienced firsthand. Everyone say miracles. Miracles. Say it again one more time. Miracles. The entire Christian faith rests on a bedrock of miracles. Everything that we are and everything that we believe in rests firmly in the belief that God does miracles. For example, the life of Jesus Christ, the one that we love, the one that we worship, his life was a miracle. Jesus had a miraculous birth. It took place in impossible circumstances. It was a supernatural fulfillment of miraculous prophecies that were hundreds of years old concerning every detail of where he would be born and how his life would affect the world. And as Jesus grew after that miraculous birth that was impossible, humanly speaking, he grew and became a rabbi and taught and did miracles, performed miracles, healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, multiplied the loaves and fishes. His life was all about miracles. And what I believe people experienced when they were in his presence was his miraculous love. And that ability that each person had, whether they were young or old or male or female, wherever they were from, whatever they had done in their life, they felt the miracle of his love. His life was a miracle. And actually, his existence to this day is profoundly affecting the history of the world. His life, so miraculous that it literally split history into BC and AD, the life, this miracle life of this one person that changed forever the way time would be recorded. Every time you celebrate a birthday, every time you write a check, anytime you set an appointment, you are using the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, as a reference point. When you set a date, his life was a miracle. And something that you may not have considered before, not just his life, but his death. Because the death of Jesus was a miracle. It wasn't a sad story. He wasn't a victim. Jesus Christ died a miraculous death. You see, by the time that he was crucified, he had already taken up to 30 hours of physical abuse. He was dehydrated, no doubt in complete medical shock. And he was able to carry his cross, and he was hung on that cross. And he held on to his life. He had said once before, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down." And so miraculously, he held on to his life until a certain point in time when it says he gave up his spirit. He was in masterful control of the entire process. And let me tell you, from a medical standpoint, the pain and the agony that he was enduring, and through that whole thing, he was directing people, ministering to people, thinking about who he could provide for and how people ought to relate to each other. And he forgave us from the cross, and he held on and uttered his most beautiful sayings in that weakened physical condition. What would have destroyed any world champion fighter? Jesus Christ strongly held on to his life until over 100 Hebrew prophecies, hundreds of years old, one by one, every single one of them was fulfilled. And when every scripture and every promise had been fulfilled, then he said, "It is now finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He died on a cross for us, but he retained miraculous control of the situation throughout the entire event. His death was a miracle. Until one Roman centurion who had witnessed, no doubt, dozens of crucifixions. It was ordinary. And he looked at the manner in which Jesus died and he said, "Surely, this was the Son of God." His death was a miracle. But not just his life and not just his death, but his resurrection. And that's what we're here to talk about today. The resurrection of Jesus was a miracle on a peerless level. It was a miracle like no other miracle. It was the greatest miracle of all. After 3 days of darkness, they took him off the cross and laid him in a sealed tomb and set a guard in front of it. And on that third day, the cold, lifeless body, like a million volts of electricity from heaven, surged into the lifeless body of Jesus. And in that dark and solitary place, the Son of God rose, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus Christ emerged from the tomb completely whole. No more bruise, no more trauma, just the wounds in his hands and feet, which he encouraged people to touch. And the Bible records that over 500 people personally saw him walking around, and that for 50 days he was in Jerusalem and in Galilee before his ascension. That history has recorded the reality of the resurrection as real as any other event, as real as Lincoln's existence, as real as anything else, that Christ rose and he walked and he talked and he changed people's lives. And now 2,000 years later, the movement of his followers is stronger than ever. How? Because the resurrection is real, and his resurrection was a miracle. And it is the foundation of all of Christianity. It forms the bedrock of everything that we believe. Everyone say miracles. Miracles is a part of the Bible story. Miracles is a part of following Jesus, of knowing Jesus. It's part and parcel of the gospel. In fact, miracles are so central to the Christian faith that if you take miracles out of it, there's nothing left. Because from cover to cover, the Bible is a story of miracles. And everything that we believe hinges on the truth of miracles. Paul the Apostle, the great scholar of the New Testament, put it this way: if Christ is not risen, if there was no resurrection, if this miracle did not take place, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost, and we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. The resurrection, the miracle of the resurrection, is central. And I call it the greatest miracle of all because it's the one miracle that proves exactly who Jesus is without doubt and without question. It proves that what he said concerning himself was true. Many people make great claims. We hear politicians and advertisers and all kinds of people making great promises, but only one delivered on what he promised, like Jesus. When he said literally at the resurrection of Lazarus, his friend, and he told the women that were with him, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, if he follows me, he will not die, but he will experience eternal life." Such a claim: I am the resurrection. Not I've seen resurrection, I can do resurrection, but I am the resurrection and the life. Such a claim would be ridiculous if he had not risen from the dead. And all of us would be hopeless today. But the reason we're not is because he did rise from the dead. And that gives us hope that we also will rise with him, that our sins can be forgiven, and that the truth of the gospel is something that can be trusted. Many people say concerning Jesus and his identity, well, I do believe that Jesus was a great teacher. I believe he certainly was a historical figure. There's ample historical proof. Perhaps he was the greatest teacher ever alive. But you see, Jesus didn't allow for that. Jesus didn't call himself the greatest teacher. And he wouldn't be a great teacher if he called himself the resurrection and the life. When he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," a good teacher doesn't say that. Only the Son of God can say that. Either Jesus Christ, and you've got to decide today, either Jesus Christ was the wildest lunatic to ever breathe, or he was the Son of God. And the resurrection demonstrates and bids us, absolutely confronts us with the reality that he is who he said that he is. It's a bedrock, and this bedrock of our faith in the resurrection is a miracle. Therefore, miracles are the bedrock of Christianity. And if you are a Christian, you better believe in miracles, and you better affirm the mighty power of God to do miracles in your life. How many here believe that a miracle can change your life? Well, you might be wondering, what does this have to do with my life? I've got to pay some bills. I need a home. I'm not making it in my family life. My marriage is in trouble. What does all this have to do with me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's what I'm going to say: that if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you believe in the greatest miracle, there are at least four things that you can walk out of this room knowing for sure. Four ways that your life can forever change if you just believe that one thing. The first thing I'm going to share with you is that if you believe in the miracle of the resurrection, everything you've ever done that was wrong is forgiven. I said everything you've ever done wrong can be forgiven if you believe in the miracle of the resurrection. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says, "All who believe in Jesus will be what?" Come on, say it. Will be what? Forgiven of their sins in Jesus' name. All who believe will be forgiven. I'm talking about the reality of a changed life, that the things that make you most ashamed in your life, the things that you would be mortally embarrassed for other people to know, the moments where you should have been strong and you weren't, the moments where you should have been there for someone and you weren't, and the times that you utterly, utterly made the dumbest possible choice and you did it fully understanding what the consequence would be. Those sins, your sins, my worst moments, are forgiven instantly, fully, freely, because of Jesus. I was thinking, I don't know why, just a few days ago, I was thinking about sin and great mistakes I've made in my life, and I wanted to be very careful about which ones I could share with you. There's a lot of pressure up here to say the right thing, and I thought, well, I don't want to tell the deepest, darkest ones. You won't like me, but I did remember one, and we've got some of our children in here, so I tell this story. That it was the last day of sixth grade at Highland School in Hayward, California, and me and a really bad seed. I was a good kid, but Stephen Linton, he was a very bad kid. Stephen Linton and I were buddies, and it was the last day of school, and I don't know, we were just feeling sinful. And we got a hold of some popsicle sticks, and we sharpened those popsicle sticks into weapons by grinding them on the ground. And we just, I don't know what we really thought what we were going to do, but there was a beautiful teacher. She was a fifth grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. May, and everybody loved Mrs. May. She was the nicest teacher. You know, there are some teachers that you would just want to, you know, you would just want to do something bad, you know, but not to Mrs. May. She was so great. And then we're looking at these sticks, and we're in the parking lot. It's the last day of school in sixth grade, and we see her car. Mrs. May had a convertible, and it had that fabric top, and something got into us. I think it was Stephen's idea. It couldn't have been mine. And we just plunged those popsicle sticks into that beautiful fabric on her nice car, and she was the nicest person in the world, and who do you suppose came around the corner and out the door just as we were doing that to catch us red-handed? But Mrs. May walked out. And I'll tell you, I felt in that moment, I thought to myself, what am I doing? Even as an insane six-year-old, or sixth grader rather, and that there's a principle of sin inside of us. And I tell you, I'll never forget the encounter I had with my father shortly after that. Because he had to pay for the repair of that, you know, sin costs you. And here's a question, and consider while we're on the subject of sin, what is your sin costing the people that you love? What are your choices costing the people that are in your life? I tell you that story not because it's the worst thing I've ever done or it makes me, you know, in a perfect light or anything like that. I tell you that story because I think the universal condition of mankind is there's something wrong on the inside. Something destructive, something violent, something that lashes out against innocence. And what I'm telling you is that every single person, no matter what you've done or how you've failed, you can be forgiven. And that's why they call it the good news of the gospel. Romans chapter 3 says, we're made right in God's sight. Talk about a miracle. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can all be saved in this same way, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. Your life can change if you believe in the resurrection, in that everything you've ever done wrong will be forgiven. But the second piece of this is that you discover God's great purpose in your life. God has a purpose in your life, and you can discover it the moment you believe in Christ. Ephesians 1 says that it's in Christ that we find out two important things. We find out who we are, and we find out what we are living for. We find out in Christ who we are and what we are living for. Part of all the overall purpose. Everyone say purpose. Part of the overall purpose that He is working out in everything and in everyone. God has a purpose for your life. Do you know who you are? And do you know what you are living for? You can. We live in a generation of massive confusion. Identity is a huge issue. Nobody seems to know exactly who they are or what they're living for. It's because we've gotten away from Christ. When you don't know your purpose, it's painful. When you don't know your purpose, it's humiliating. Life loses all of its joy, all of its focus, all of its strength. But when you discover who you are, what you believe and what you were made for, life goes to a whole new level. How do we find our purpose? We find our purpose by connecting with the one who created us. I'm not talking about get a purpose in life. I'm talking about get the God-given purpose that he created you in mind with. The Bible says that Jesus Christ created all things, everything, absolutely everything, Colossians 1 says, got started in Christ and finds its purpose in him. Years and years ago, Kathy and I met as teenagers, and we were both just learning the gospel. We both had just discovered that we had purpose in our lives. Now, 40 years later, we're still standing in that purpose. Our purpose is Christ. Our purpose is serving God. We find ourselves, we don't find our purpose because we're leading a church. We don't find our purpose only because we're parents or only because we're friends we don't even find our purpose in each other. We find our purpose in Christ. The day may come where I'm not leading a church, but I'll still have a purpose because I'll still have Christ. The day may come, and I hope it never does, but the day may come where she's not in my life or I'm not in her life, but her purpose will not end, and my purpose will not end if we lose each other, because we can never lose Christ. Sitting here this morning for the first two services is my uncle. I told you that I was going to tell you a little bit about my family as we went through this journey. My uncle is the founding pastor of our church, and he's been my pastor all these years, and so many of us love him and appreciate him. I grew up hearing stories from my father, his older brother, hearing stories of the miracles that God had done in their family growing up. It was common for me to hear stories of answered prayer, but one that I would never forget is one that my dad was just retelling us, honey, just I think the last time we were up there visiting with them, and tears were filling his eyes as my 86-year-old father was recounting the true story of how Emmanuel, as a 4-year-old, contracted pneumonia and literally physically died in the presence of his entire family. The doctor had been visiting, a Jewish doctor, and my grandparents they weren't so big on medicine. They just believed in prayer, and he was so furious with them. He said, "You are going to jail, Mr. Canastracy. Your son is going to die." And sure enough, within a few days, this 4-year-old child, my dad tells the story of how his spine was completely bent over like a candy cane. And he was consumed, and he had lost tons of weight, and he had no strength. And he died in the presence of his family. And as his family prayed, he resuscitated. Apostle C tells the story that his spirit lifted up out of his body, and he was able to see himself, like observing his whole family grieving over him. But he didn't stay dead. He rose. It was a miracle. And when the doctor came back a few days later to check on the family, he said, "Where's Emmanuel?" My dad is telling me this story, tears in his eyes. He says, "Where's Emmanuel?" And my brother, he said, was playing in the backyard, running and skipping and riding his bike with all the other children, miraculously healed. I tell you that story because not only do I believe in miracles, but I believe miracles have a purpose. And I think about the life that he's lived and everything that we enjoy as a church, the foundations that we stand on today are because somebody believed in miracles. The fact that we are here today, somewhere along the line, there was a miracle, and that miracle that brings purpose into our lives. The third piece of this, are you still with me? Is everybody okay? Are you still with me? Would you like me to go on? I could stop right now, but I got two more miracles to tell you about, all right? If you put your trust in Christ, not only will you have purpose in your life, and not only will your sins be forgiven, but here's the third piece, you will tap into the power of God for your life. There is power that is available for you to live the life that God means for you to live. In Isaiah 40, there's a promise that he gives power to those who are weak and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. I look around at so many people and I see weariness is such a tremendous problem that people are experiencing in their lives. Why are we so tired? Why are we so weary in life? I believe it's because we're trying to move in our own steam. We're trying to do life in our own strength. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you believe in the greatest miracle of all, you tap into a power, you plug into a power that animates everything else in your life. If you have a toaster at home, and you put bread in it and you push the button down, but it isn't plugged in, you're not going to get breakfast. But if that toaster is plugged in, it's no longer useless. Now it has a purpose. Now there's a power flowing through it, and something can happen. And that's the way your life is. There is no way that you can become the person that God has called you to be. There is no way that you can live or function without the power of God until you plug into Jesus and the power that he has. There is no power like his power, because he rose from the dead. And brothers and sisters, wherever you're from, that's unbelievable power. You don't have to be weary. You don't have to be tired. You can have power. And you'll use that power when it's time for you to change. You'll use that power when you feel like quitting. And you just can't go on because the pain is unbelievable. And God's power comes alongside you. You'll use that power when you're involved in a sin that is destroying your marriage, destroying your self-esteem, destroying your life. And it's time to stop. And you'll plug into that power, and God's power will set you free from the power of sin. So you don't have to live a powerless life. You tap into the power of God. Paul prayed that we would experience God's power in Ephesians 1. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead, literally the Spirit of Christ filling you, quickening you. And Paul said, I pray that you will experience this kind of power that will help you. Today, if you'll just be willing to admit you need God's help, you need God's help to live. You need God's help to make it. And you'll reach out for that power. You'll receive it. But here's the fourth piece. And this is the last part that I'll share. As the choir gets ready to come and we close the service, you are guaranteed eternal life in heaven. Now, I could give you probably 50 things that would happen to you if you put your trust in Christ. I've shared four. But this one, I think, is the most important, because it's great to have power and it's great to be forgiven and all that. But the promise that you will live beyond your lifetime, the promise of heaven, the promise of knowing God in eternity, is the most valuable thing you can ever obtain. If God strengthens you, eventually your strength will fail. If God forgives you, eventually you'll stop sinning. The day will come where you stand in eternity before a holy God, and you're going to want to hear, I never knew you. You're going to want to hear, welcome. Welcome into my presence. I know you. We have relationship. You see, this is what John 3:16, the famous verse, is all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's a promise that we know is real because of the resurrection. It was Easter Sunday. One last story about my family. It was Easter Sunday 1979 when my older brother Dan, who was a pretty hopeless cocaine addict and dealer here in the Bay Area, raised his hand in a service just like this on an Easter Sunday and gave his heart to the Lord. My brother Dan was in a lot of trouble. You know, addiction is something not mild, not tame. Addiction is something that doesn't stop until one of two things happens. Either you're dead or you're free. And in the case of my brother, cocaine was destroying his life. I think one of the reasons that I got off to a very early start in sin was because I admired my older brother the way younger brothers would. He had beautiful girlfriends. He had Harley Davidsons. He had nice cars. He was selling cocaine to the Oakland Raiders. Not all of them, of course, but he was the kind of brother that you would look up to. And it got me heading in the wrong direction very early in life. Well, I did end up surrendering my life and giving my life to Christ. And all of us, especially my parents, were desperately praying for my brother. And it looked hopeless, but he agreed to come to a Resurrection Sunday service, and the power of God touched him. He raised his hand. My brother to this day is still saved. When he talks about God, he cries. He can't stop crying because he knows how real the power of God is for him. He's alive and he's healthy and he's got a beautiful family because of his faith in Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to us here today is you can have a promise of heaven, you can have a life, you can have a purpose. Your life can totally change because of this greatest miracle, the miracle of the resurrection. I'm not telling you stories from a book I read. I'm telling you the story of my family and how I've experienced God's miracle power. It's real, and it will change your life. How do you get there? Romans 10 tells us that you don't have to sell all your goods. You don't have to buy your way in. You can't act enough to be perfect. But it says if you simply declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You might say, Pastor, it's great to hear that you have a nice family. It's great to hear that you believe in miracles. I used to believe, but not anymore. You see, I've had so much pain in my life, I just can't believe. That might be where you're at. I would say to you, if that's where you're at, if your life is in ashes, if you're a broken person and you just can't believe anymore, I would say, I totally hear that. I completely understand that. And I would just remind you of one thing. You're not the only person that has ever hurt. You're not the only person that has ever been down or discouraged, including Jesus Christ, who knows that kind of pain, whatever you're going through. He knows it so intimately because he experienced it himself. He went through the agony of the cross. He was forsaken. People condemned him when he really didn't deserve it. So he's gone through everything that you and I can go through, but he overcame because of this power that we're talking about. And I would just say this, that the hope that is generated in your life when you realize that because Christ overcame, you can overcome. We're not offering a life free of pain. There's no promise that bad things won't happen to good people. But here's what is real. If Christ overcame and he makes that power available to you, you don't have to stay down. You can also overcome if you believe. I pray that you'll put your trust in him. Maybe you're at a point where you'd like to consider Christianity. You're not ready to buy, but you'd like to consider faith in Jesus Christ. I'd like to give you a gift. I'd like to send you a book. It's called Why Jesus? And those of you that are new in the church or anyone that's filling out a card today in the service, if you don't know Jesus, but you'd like to understand the gospel, this book will be very helpful to you. It's called Why Jesus? And I'll just send it to you in the mail. Just take that I'm new here card and write on there free book. And we'll be sure to send that to you. I'd love for you to consider faith in Christ. In a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to pray with me. And I pray that you will pray with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In the meantime, I ask you to come back to that question that we began with. Do you believe that a miracle can change your life? Because if you do, your life is going to change. Choir, please sing. Thank you. Amen. Would you bow your heads, everyone? We're coming to the most urgent and most personal portion of this service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every Christian praying with me right now. I believe God brought you here because he wants your life to change. And he will provide the power. He will provide the forgiveness. He will give you that second chance to start over, to feel the weight of your sin forgiven, to gain the joy of living once ahead, once again, as you look ahead in your life and you think, where am I going to know that God would be in control of your life and that his miracle power would be available to you? It's just a simple act of surrender to him. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. All you can do is receive it because of what Christ has done. And it has to be done by you personally. As much as I would want it for you, I can't make that choice for you. You must choose. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me." You can know God. You can be connected to his power. Your life can be changed. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here today and at one time in your life you knew the joy of forgiveness. You had the assurance that your sins were forgiven, but something happened. And you found yourself so far away from God. You've made choices. And now here you are. And you would say, "Pastor, I need to recommit my life to the Lord. I need to turn around and head in the right direction. I need to surrender my life to him." Others may be here that you have never given your life to the Lord, but you'd like to. You never understood the gospel. You didn't know that you could be forgiven. You didn't know that sin was a problem. But now you understand that your sin can separate you from God. And you don't want that. You want to know God. You can today. Whether you've known him at one time or you've never met him, I want to pray for you. And if that's you and you'd like me to pray for a miracle to take place in your life, the same way it did for my brother Dan, the same way it did for me, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much pain you're in, your life can start all over by that miracle power. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lift a hand and say, "Pastor David, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ." Go ahead. I see you. I see you. I see your hand wherever you are. Just say, "Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I need a brand new start." I see maybe 10, maybe 12 hands. I don't know. There might be more. I'm asking you right now to make a decision that will change your life forever. Just lift it up. Say, "Pastor, pray for me." All right. I see many hands. And I will pray. And I believe God will do the same for you that he's done for me. Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus to break the power of sin, to break the power of hopelessness, to break fear, depression, discouragement. Break it. And release, Lord, by that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, release new life into every man and woman that needs it today. For those that are raising their hands and others who I know are nearby that just say, "That's me. I also need that." Lord, do a miracle in every person's life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, "Amen." Now look, I'd like to be able to do this for you, you that raised your hands. I'd like to pray Christ into your life, but actually, you've got to do that. You have to issue the invitation. How do I invite Jesus to be in my life? You invite him by praying. We're going to put a prayer up on the screen, and there may be many who raised their hands and others that didn't, but I think all of us should say this prayer on a Resurrection Sunday to affirm our faith and our trust in Jesus, the one who takes away our sins. Would you pray this prayer with me? We'll all pray it out loud together, and let's make this our prayer to him. Let's say it together. Father God, thank you for your love and power. I believe in miracles and I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come into my life and show me how to follow you. Forgive my sins and fill me with your power. In Christ's name, Amen. There were about 15 or 20 people that raised their hand just now. I don't know how many in the cafe, but I think we ought to say hallelujah for that. Now we're going to bring the service to a close, but we're not quite done yet. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. The ushers are going to serve you. And remember, those of you that are new in our church, you've never done it before, the card that says I'm new here, and if you want that book, I promise to send it to you. Just write on there, free book, and we'll take action this week to send you that book. We'd love to hear about your decision. If you raised your hand, I would love to know personally what you decided today. Did you rededicate your life to the Lord? Did you come to faith in Christ? Would you take a minute, fill out that card that says, I've decided, and let me know what's happening. Place that in the offering as it comes. And one more time, I think the choir is going to light it up in here. We're going to go out of this place rejoicing in a risen King. Amen. Let's welcome the choir as they come. We can dance. Dismiss the service. I want to say thank you for being a part of our resurrection celebration here, would you join me in thanking every volunteer, hundreds of volunteers that made today possible? Come on, let's give it up to the Lord for that. Next Sunday starts the God of Miracles series. I would love to see you back here. If I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hands. And one last thing, there's nothing quite as beautiful as a leader who leads well. And the choir's been working really hard, and Julie Goodall has led so beautifully. And Julie, they love you. And we appreciate your hard work for the Lord, and we thank you. Be sure that you tell the people in your life that you love them. The ones you love, be sure you tell them, all right? Just do that right now. Love somebody and wish one another a great Resurrection Sunday. You are dismissed with the blessing of the Lord.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our